This is the EWN Podcast Network.
Welcome to Superheroes in Heels, the podcast where powerful women rise, lead, and own the room. I'm Kimberly Borgens, your host, fellow trailblazer, and unapologetic advocate for women in the world of business. With over 30 years of experience building success in a male-dominant industry, I'm here to empower you to do the same. Each week, you'll hear bold conversations with inspiring guests who embody strength, resilience, a little dash of sass, and a little bit of grace. Together, we'll challenge the status quo, break through barriers, unlock your confidence, and unleash your inner superhero. You ready? Let's go.
Hello. Hello, superheroes in heels. Welcome. Beautiful listeners, I'm so glad that you have come back to Superheroes in Heels, the podcast where we celebrate the power and perseverance and possibilities of women everywhere. I'm your host, Kimberly Borgens, and today we're going to have a compassionate conversation about the topic that touches more lives than you think. Ready to hear this? It's called financial infidelity. Yep, that's right. I said it. Now, before you tune out or feel that pang of guilt, I want to reassure you that this is a safe, non-judgmental space. I'm just here to help understand, not shame. You know, so take a deep breath, grab your favorite mug, get something to drink, and let's dive into this topic together because I really think this is a great topic. I don't know. Maybe nobody else is like me, but hey, that's okay. So what is financial infidelity? Some of you are thinking like, I don't even know what that means, Kimberly. I'm cheating on my money. No. What financial infidelity really means, simply put, is that it's where somebody hides or withholds information about money from their partners, their family, you know, things that maybe a secret bank account, a stash of cash, running up credit card debt, not disclosing a purchase. Maybe you got just a little tucked away for a just-in-case fund. Maybe you haven't told your partner about every dollar that you've earned or spent. Whatever the details, financial infidelity is more common than you might realize, and it's not always talked about, and it's not necessarily about deception like the word infidelity kind of implies. Sometimes it's about protection, survival, and power. Like, I remember when I first started out working that I was a Pampered Chef consultant. I did home parties and I would go and you know, share all these kitchen tools, and all these ladies would buy, and men would buy the kitchen tools because they were great products. I still have plenty of products in my cupboards for it. But I did it for 10 years. But I remember that I used to tell the ladies, look, we have the happy hubby plan. And they'd go, well, what's the happy hubby plan? A little bit of cash, a little bit of check, a little bit of charge. He didn't know about the cash. The check, he saw that, and it's not that big deal. And by the time the credit card bill comes in, then he forgot all about the check anyway, right? So, like, come on, we, as a society, we already decided that we can help women be deceitful or deceiving a little bit about their money with the happy hubby plan, right? Don't spend too much. But I want to reframe the narrative, because instead of seeing these, like I said, as signs of betrayal or deceit, right, I really want to explore the deeper reasons behind these things. I mean, let's look at the backstory on this. Financial infidelity didn't just like suddenly show up like it was in a vacuum somewhere. Historically, women have had less access to resources, less control over their money. And in many cultures, they still don't get to do it. They have less say about the financial decision making in their households. For generations, the men have, you know, paid the bills and the woman just has to trust him, right? Women have been expected to just rely on that husband or even their fathers before that, you know, for the economic well-being, right? And that legacy still lingers today. And so that's why I want to have this conversation. Look, I've said here in Superheroes in Heels, I've said I'm willing to have the hard conversations, especially the hard conversations about money. So this one might feel like a hard conversation. But, you know, why do we do that as women? So we do, why do we keep money secrets sometimes? Well, there's a few really good reasons. One, survival. For some, a hidden stash is just that safety net, right? Mom used to sell some eggs and she'd put that money in the coffee can. Or, you know, my grandfather, I mean, this was the generation, right? Like the Depression and things like that. I remember my grandfather, he would have coffee cans and he'd just put $1, $2, $5 bills in there and just, you know, keep them in there. And the man would bury them on the property. When he needed something, he would have to go and dig up a can, or he hid it in his in the barn behind some tools and stuff, and nobody knew about it. But if he needed a little bit of cash because money was tight that month, they didn't, you know, sell something, or, you know, they needed to buy something, he always had a stash somewhere. So I just want you to know that this isn't a woman only issue. This is something that has been ingrained in us for a really long time, because we can't trust the government. We can't trust our spouses. We can't trust, you know, the list goes on. Okay. So it's just that survival mode, hidden stash, that safety net, it's protection for, or in case of a crisis or abuse or abandonment. Now, I knew about my grandfather's cans. He told me about them. And he, one time he's like, hey, you know, let me give you this money. Hold on. I got to get it out of here. And that's when I first learned about it, because I was in the barn with him on this. So it's not, you know, it was just there. How about for autonomy? Secret money can be a way to carve out independence, right? Especially after a lifetime of being told you shouldn't, you can't, you're not allowed to manage your finances. Like, who do you think you are telling me that? Right? But it really has been in play for a really long time. And how about past traumas, right? If you've experienced betrayal or financial control before, right? Secrecy kind of feels safer than vulnerability. And what about ambition? Maybe the dream or the business ideas, you know, that you weren't supposed to do, so you found ways to fund them yourself. Your spouse didn't want to support you in that, so you figured it out, right? Look, I admit myself personally, I have done this for all the reasons above, right? And what's important about this is to remember that these choices often stem from a place of strength, not a place of shame. But somehow as women, we seem to hold on to that guilt. I mean, for me, survival, my ex-husband left and took all the money out of the bank account, forcing me out of the house with no money. Right? Autonomy. I spent money one time in our vacation with my husband now, is I spent time, money for a vacation, and it almost ruined our relationship and our business. Everything went downhill. And I decided from that point on that I needed to have my own secret stash so that we didn't go through that crash and burn again. Right? To me, it just felt like, ooh, buddy, that's not how I'm going to play. And past trauma. Look, like I said, I was divorced once and I needed to be ready if the next guy walked out of me and took all the money. Like, there was some deep issues going on in there. Ambition? Come on, I don't have any of that, right? Look, I wanted a kitchen. I have lived in my home, my current home. I've been here for 28 years. In those 28 years, 27 and a half, I had the exact same kitchen. I hated it from day one. But, you know, it takes a lot of money to redo a kitchen, right? So for me, ambition is, you know, saving for a kitchen. I just had a full kitchen remodel done. And guess what? I paid for it in cash. I was committed to getting that kitchen done. I saved a little bit at a time. And, you know, a little bit at a time adds up. I didn't want to go into debt for doing a kitchen remodel. So I just didn't tell him anything about it until, of course, it was almost time to get the remodel because I had the money saved up. I mean, what harm was that, right? So I completely get it. And yes, he knows all about it. I you know, I threw all out the whole, you know, need to hide it from my husband. We've been together for 35 years. So I think we're okay now at this point. If not, I'm prepared anyway, right? But I completely get it. And I understand why we as women will do these things. But what I really want to talk about today is the feelings that swirl around these money secrets. There's often a mix of fear or guilt, anxiety, fear of judgment, right? Guilt for hiding it, and anxiety, like what would happen if the truth came out and he caught me or he found it or he whatever, right? What if, and then the one that came to me kept popping up is, what if I died and he doesn't know about it, right? Like, how's he going to find out? How's he going to take care of the things, like, right? But beneath all of that is a powerful current. The powerful current, I know for me, and probably for many of you, was the dire need for me for protection, for safety, and for peace of mind. It's vital to approach your feelings and ourselves with some compassion here. For whatever reason in this world, money is about more than just numbers. The truth is, money is just cash. It's just a tool that we give to one person to get something else, right? Or they give to us because we gave to them. It's just transactional. That's what money is. But we have so much deep-seated emotional attachment to money that it's more than just the numbers. It's about trust. It's about history. It's about hope for a better future. And some of us have just been through a lot, okay? And most people are not even willing to talk about money. And like I said, I was like that too. I didn't talk about it. I didn't have role models in my family around money. I saw my grandfather had a can. My mother had a stash, you know, whatever, right? They didn't tell us. It's just I had observation skills. The only role models I remember growing up were like Susie Orman yelling, you got to do this and you got to do that and you have to put your money here and you have to put your money there. But guess what? You didn't tell me why. You didn't tell me like what it would feel like when I did that. Or Oprah, like we watched Oprah growing up, right? And money, and Oprah used to talk all the time about how she didn't have money until she was able to take charge, right? And then she would give some away, but, you know, she was earning it. And, you know, and now she's financially stable and she's not that poor little girl anymore. But, you know, who's talking about it? Who's talking about, you know, having financial infidelity? I don't know. I came up with that one and I thought I would just roll with it, right? But the reality is, you have to ask yourself, how can we move forward from secrecy to strategy? How can we turn secret money moves into empowered, intentional action? Well, how about the first thing is you can recognize your reason without judgment. Survival, autonomy, ambition, they're all valid. Past trauma, all of this is valid. But you have to understand that having control over your finances isn't just smart, it's essential. What if that money you've been saving could have been making you more money? Right? Some people don't trust government. We don't trust financial institutions because we've had a whole bunch of sleazy salespeople who come into our lives and tell us, oh, we want you to do this with your money and we're not going to tell you how to do it, but I'm going to manage it for you. You're not managing my life. Why would I expect you to manage my money? Hello? It gets heavy sometimes, right? Because we're secretly, you know, talking about this and it creates security for us, but there's also the anxiety that it has. So how can we shift to strategic planning that can provide the same security without the heaviness of the secret? So that's what I want to share with you today. What would it look like? Well, maybe setting up your own bank accounts and making sure it's transparent, at least to yourself. You don't have to tell everybody. if you're in a relationship that is abusive and you know that at some point, like, it gets rough, then girl, do what you need to do. I am not going to tell you to do anything different. Maybe some of these things that I am telling you can help you do that better and do that safer. But what I want you to know is that if that's not the case, what could we do different? So set it up to make sure it's transparent. Have multiple bank accounts. Who knows about the envelope system, right? Back in the day, it's like you have your envelopes and you get your paycheck and you get the cash and you put it in all these different envelopes. I get it. I did the envelope thing when I was in my 20s, early 20s, right? When I had no money. And so I had to, like, this is what I got to pay for rent. Okay, this is how much I have left for PG&E. And this is how much I have left for groceries. And this is how much I have left for nothing else. That's how it felt with my envelope system. And today is no different. I still use an envelope system. It just looks different. My envelopes are savings accounts. I have multiple savings accounts that I have, one for kitchen. I have insurance. I have vacation, right? You get my drift? And I have those in the bank and I can just transfer the money out of one account, put it into these envelopes, right? So I don't have to, you know, I never had to ask permission, nor do I need to divulge it with my husband. It's not good. It's not bad. It's not right. It's not wrong. He's the benefactor now. You know, I set that up. So just in case something happens to me, he still gets the money, right? My kids are the second benefactors right after that. And so he knows about it. At this point, he knows about it. He doesn't necessarily always know what's in the account, but that's, if he asks, I'll tell him. If he doesn't ask, I ain't worried about it. That's just as simple as it is for me. Because I still have ambitions. I still have things that I want to complete. I still have a future. I still have a retirement that I got to plan for. All of these things matter for my safety and my protection for the future. But you could create a budget that reflects your needs, your wants, and your goals. You could break that down. So these are the needs that I need for my money, and these are the wants that I want, and here's the goals that I'm trying to reach, and then decide how you want that money to be. And again, it's not about being transparent for anybody else. It's about being transparent for you. If you're always saying, I just never have money to do things, well, maybe you need to create some. Okay. A little bit at a time adds up. Building an emergency fund. That's not a problem. Be open about it if possible. If it's private, if it's safety, you know, and it needs that safety and that's what's required, then do that too. Again, I'm not telling you to not protect yourself. What I'm telling you is be honest about it. Seek financial education. The more that you understand money and how finances work and what you need to do, the better you are for your future. You can get support from financial communities, from professionals who uplift women. There's some amazing women. I have an amazing woman who can probably handle, you know, help you with your financial choices. When you have ladies, you have the right. You do. You have the right to financial autonomy. You have the right to financial safety. You have the right for financial peace of mind. Strategy isn't just about numbers. It's about reclaiming your power. So how do you get to the space where you feel that you're building financial power? Is have honest conversations, whether it's with a partner, a mentor, even yourself. Honesty is the financial foundation for financial health. If you're in a safe relationship, explore ways to bring finances into the open. You don't have to tell them everything. Tell them the part that you're comfortable with right now. Then you can always add more. If not, seek support and resources from people that can protect you and can help you build your independence. Grow in your financial literacy. Knowledge is power. That's been around since I was a kid, right? There are incredible books, podcasts, organizations dedicated to financial education for women, specifically for women. Start small, read an article, attend a workshop, listen to a money mentor who speaks to you. The other way to build financial power is to create a safe plan. Look, each of us as women, we have a unique story. If secrecy has been your shield, Think about steps that you can take to move towards openness at your own pace. Or tighten up that shield. Make it more financially resourceful for you, where you're making money off of it, that you can have access to it at any time. Whatever that is for you in your own pace, that might mean consulting with a financial coach or connecting with a support group for women entrepreneurs, you know. But if you're going out and you're spending money on the fancy bag or the best heels, you know, look, I'm a shoe girl. I can go out and spend money on shoes, but that's because I have all my other things in place, right? So before we wrap up, I just want you to hear this loud and clear. Ladies, you are not alone. Financial infidelity is just a symptom. It is not a character flaw, okay? Your desire for safety, autonomy, success, ambition, it's valid and it's worthy. And I'm not telling you, like I said, I'm not telling you to change a daggum thing, okay? How you're doing it right now, what you're doing with your money, that is all for you to decide. I just want you to understand it. I want you to release the guilt. If you have guilt behind it, it's time to let it go. You are not alone. You're doing what is necessary for you, and create a plan. Right? What is it that you want to do with this? Why do you need it? How much do you need? How much would make you feel safe? Right? If you want to make a change, right, and you want to figure out some small steps that lead to big transformation, seek out resources. Surround yourself with supported voices. Remember that financial honesty isn't just about being truthful with others, because that's not what I'm saying. I'm talking about being truthful with you. What are you going to do with it? How are you setting that up to prepare yourself for a better future? If you want some support and you want to create a strategy, reach out for a coaching session with me. I won't tell anybody about it. It's up to you. This is your finances. This is your money. And I know there's so many emotions wrapped up around that money. I really appreciate you listening today, listening to me here with Superheroes in Heels. And I believe in your strength, in your dreams, in your right to financial empowerment. I want you to be successful. I hope this podcast helped. If you know somebody else that might need to listen to this topic, please share. Let them know. And until next time, just stay honest, stay kind, and keep conquering the world one smart step at a time. Take care, superheroes.
Thanks for tuning in to Superheroes in Heels with Kimberly Borgens. If you're walking away feeling a little braver, a little bolder, and a whole lot more powerful, mission accomplished. Be sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review. It helps us to reach more women who are ready to unleash their power and lead with confidence. And if you do leave a review, you might just hear your name in an upcoming episode. If today's conversation lit a fire in you, share it with your network and join us inside the Hive Society at KimberlyBorgens.com, where powerful women gather to break barriers and rise together. Until next time, keep showing up, standing strong, and heels or not, keep embracing your inner superhero.